Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, life is really weird. It is. Admit it. It's just weird. I'm going to interview a guy today that has got something called Safer Alarms, right? He's an entrepreneur. This was set up weeks ago. And this morning, I have elderly parents and I'm helping to caretake for them. So this morning, I'm watching my dad. I have a little camera in his kitchen so I can see when he's in the kitchen making breakfast for my mom. My dad's 90. My mom's 87. So when I see my dad in the kitchen, you know, I know everything's okay. And then I have one in the living room and I can watch him when they're watching TV. So if I want to know, and he doesn't answer his phone, I can at least look into the unprivate part of their house and see if everything's okay. So I'm, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, all right, let's check out my dad, see how he's doing. There he is, making breakfast. I'm watching my dad make breakfast. Isn't that cute? 90 years old, he's making breakfast for my mom. And I'm watching this, and all of a sudden, I hear his phone ringing. And I'm like, huh, my dad always keeps his cell phone in his shirt pocket. He's real bad at hearing, like all 90-year-olds are. Doesn't want to wear a hearing aid. Look at me, I need drugs just to remember what it's called. Anyway, the point is, he doesn't want to wear a hearing aid, so he can't hear his phone ring, which is on the charger in the other room. I hear his phone. My mom hears his phone. She's going, your phone's ringing. Nothing is happening. He's cooking breakfast, right? All of a sudden, he hears her or something, and he goes running from the kitchen, running from the kitchen as slow as a turtle runs. And he goes in there, and I said to my wife, watch this. Whatever's on the stove is going to catch on fire. And I'm thinking to myself, this is insanity. You know, this is how it happens, because he answers his phone. And it was one of those evil calls of, you know, your car insurance or whatever, trying to sell car insurance. He can't even drive. Anyway, the point is, I'm thinking, I'm going to watch my dad's house burn down because he got a troll call, if you know what I mean. So that leads me to the caller that is on the phone right now, my guest, Mark Toland, who's founder and CEO of Safer Alarms. Mark, does this sound familiar to you, by the way?
Unfortunately, yes, all too familiar. The statistics are 144,000 fires in the kitchen every year in the United States alone. Good Happens Lord. All day, every day.
Wow. Well, so I know, and I want you to tell your story, because you being an entrepreneur is one thing, and you wanting to make the world a safer place is one thing. But when something horrific happens next door to you or me, it really kind of rings the bell saying, you better listen to yourself, Mark Toland. You better hurry up and make that thing that you were almost there with, because why, Mark? What happened to you?
Well, about 7 years ago, three little girls and their grandparents were killed in a Christmas morning fire. It was international news, just horrific. It happened down the street from my house. We were awakened by the sirens. And here I am developing an alarm system, and I've got patents and IP, and it happens way too close to home. So that was really the impetus to focus my efforts to make certain that we could bring new innovative products that we've never had before and change the way we're protected from fire. Any detectors could have saved them, but our products are the first of their kind that I say that literally changes the way you're protected from fire.
Mm. All right, let me take a little break. We're going to come back and talk about this. The journey that Mark Toland, founder and CEO of Safer Alarms Incorporated, and that's the website, Safer Alarms with an S, saferalarmsinc.com. You know, he's had to go through some hoops. He's had to deal with some stuff the way we do as entrepreneurs, but he's there now. He's ready. Ready for you. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Hook me up a new revolution. This one is a lie. Sat around laughing and watch the last one die. Now look into the sky.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
All right, it is Entrepreneur Weekly. Thank you for joining us. I'm Alan Taylor. You know, I mean, it's just so sad when you hear somebody that could have been saved by something as simple as a smoke alarm. But this is a little different, you guys. Safer Alarms is a little different. It's not just about smoke. Mark Tolan, president, founder, CEO, big guy. It is available right now. You can find it at their website, saferalarms.com. Actually, got to put ink on there. saferalarmsinc.com. And also, they have something going on Indiegogo, too, right, to get this out to the rest of the world.
That's right. We partnered with a company called Arrow Electronics, which is the largest components manufacturer, and we are Arrow certified. So they wanted us to go on the Indiegogo platform, expose it to the crowd. You know, for me, it's all about raising awareness.
Right.
Maybe it just reminds somebody to change the battery in their old smoke detector. Well, that's enough to save lives.
Right.
So we wanted to get people excited about it before we were in stores. We'll be everywhere you shop for the Christmas market, fourth quarter. And until then, you can buy it at a heavy discount through our Indiegogo platform and our website.
So what do they do? Go to Indiegogo, search for Safer Alarms.
That's right. And okay. You'll see the deals. We've got multiple products, and you'll see how it works. And again, you'll be buying it, you know, less than wholesale, really.
Right. And by the way, this isn't just me shilling a product, because first of all, this man is an entrepreneur. I love entrepreneurs with a purpose that save lives. I love to help entrepreneurs. And if more people go and visit this and buy a safer alarm, and now that brings me to the question is, how is it safer? I mean, a smoke alarm is a smoke alarm, isn't it?
Right. So what, you know, 50 years we've been detecting the derivative of fire, but it's the smoke that kills you. What our products do is it allows the consumer for the first time to place our sensors right in harm's way, right where we know fires begin. Kitchen, laundry room, your electrical. Mm. You know, you've got power strips now with all your chargers and everything else, and these things get hot and they go up. So our sensor unit is not a smoke sensor. It's a rapid rate of rise in temperature.
Uh-huh.
If there's an event near that location, I detect the source of the fire, and the trick is we then wirelessly, immediately send our signal to our remote alarm, which is in a traditional safe location. So as a system, we meet all building codes, OSHA requirements, etc. We keep screaming even after our sensor is destroyed.
Gotta love it.
So, for instance, we have this pretty little Christmas ornament. It's the same color as the tree. We're to be heard, not seen. You hide it in the Christmas tree. You're three times more likely to have a fire during the Christmas season.
I love this. It's brilliant.
And it's the same system. Again, as soon as there's a rapid rate of rise in temperature, I send my signal out in a nanosecond to the remote alarm that you've got next to your bedside, and you get that family out of the house. And faster detection is safer detection.
I was going to say, time is the essence.
That's what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Precious seconds can literally be the difference between life and death.
I love technology.
And you're talking about, you know, you're saving property. The room doesn't have to be ablaze and the smoke billow out into the other room by the time you catch it. So chances are you'll be able to put it out right there at the source, which saves property damage. We're talking about $2 billion a year in property damage, just residential.
Give me a couple of minutes on what it's been like to get certified and fire safety and all that. And because you told me that those little girls got killed and their grandmother Christmas morning 7 years ago.
Right.
It's taken that long.
Yeah, I mean, I won't use foul language, but it is a nightmare.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, you're talking about innovation in a crusty, old, established, saturated business,
and
that's why there's no innovation. So when you're talking to these engineers and these test labs, their answer is, oh, you can't do it that way. And it just takes you back to that focus. Then how can I do it? So you have to really be committed 110% to find the solution. And it took, you know, 1,000 tries before they came out with the light bulb, right? Well, same with anything else.
5,000 tries.
And again, it's, you know, this is a life safety device. It has to work every single time. It cannot fail.
Yeah.
So you use all known parts and materials. You had to make sure they're all UL listed. Then you got to cut deals with all those service providers. Make sure you're with the right people. You know, this isn't something you build out of your garage and hope it works. It's got to be established, you know, components, plastics. All those things are mandated and coded. So you have to bring in a team that knows what they're doing. Mm. Know your strengths, know your weaknesses,
yep.
And make sure you surround yourself with that right team.
All right. So, entrepreneur Mark Toland, founder and CEO SaferAlarmsInc.com on the web. And then we come back, we're going to learn from him, you know, these learnings of this 7-year journey he's been on are going to be helpful to you folks. How can you bring a product to market in the Internet of Things? And thank you, Mark, for doing what you're doing. Hopefully you'll save a life of somebody that I love and I hold dear. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, I have a special guest today, Mark Toland, who took it upon himself to spend the last 7 years of his life trying to bring a safer alarm, a smoke alarm, after witnessing or being close to witnessing three little girls and their grandmother losing their life on Christmas morning. He was compelled. He's an entrepreneur. There's a problem. He wants to fix it. So he's going to now maybe share with us some of the learnings of his journey. These learnings, this is the sage advice for you entrepreneurs. So Mark Toland with us again. You can find out more if you want to go to Indiegogo. I'm going to ask about that. Or just check out the product at SaferAlarmsInc.com. Mark, let's talk about, first of all, you as an entrepreneur. Were you an entrepreneur before this, or were you had the workaday Joe office job? Where did it start?
You know, I started out of college. I started my career on Wall Street. I was on the retail desk. And, you know, you, as you're managing money for investors, you start to wonder what makes one company more attractive to investors than another. What was their journey to get here? You know, this is the top of the market. How did they get here? And it just kind of evolved into venture, and then I'd help companies, startups now we call them. We used to call them private placements. And that's when I found my niche. You know, let's architect this company from the ground up. Let's make sure there aren't any real mistakes before the product's even ready, and then you can sell it up that Wall Street line. And that's the trick, is a lot of times the biggest lesson is don't worry about giving up equity to get the institutional money, because what they can do is 1,000 times more than what you can do. And if it's something like a life safety device, or it's something that's going to make our lives safer, better, it's a macro model. So bring in, don't be afraid of scale. That's what I always say.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Indiegogo. There's different platforms out there that's crowdfunding. For those who don't know Indiegogo, you guys should check it out, indiegogo.com. Go to Mark's product, Safer Alarms. But how is Indiegogo? I mean, now that you've kind of, you're on this journey, is it the right platform for your product?
You know what? I don't know if there's a wrong platform. Again, it's about raising awareness. And,
right.
You know, what you don't want to do is pigeonhole your demographic and say, I'm just grandmas or I'm just homeowners. Someone on Indiegogo who's cool and techie, you know, they may say, hey, grandma, you got to own this product. So don't limit yourself. You know, get it out with every opportunity you have. We partnered with Aero, who partnered with Indiegogo, and they recommended that, you know, that's the platform for them. And that'll help us because they help source the components for us in China and all that stuff. So, you know, don't be disappointed if something doesn't go the way you think it should have. You know, you just keep plugging away, do what you know is right, and build it and they will come.
Well, it looks like you've also got a kind of a long-term plan here. You're not expecting to get rich overnight. You're not expecting it to hit and just go crazy overnight,
right?
Because you're not even really plan on, you know, pushing it out into the general public for till fourth quarter. So you've still got some time. You got other ways of pushing this, like even being on this radio show, of which we should thank Diane McNamara for introducing us, because, you know, you're right. Getting out there, getting the media, getting the exposure is key to driving people to Indiegogo or SaferAlarmsInc.com. At the end of the day, that's the most important thing. Get exposure.
Period. The end.
There you go. Right? So now, real quickly, failures or mistakes along the way? I mean, have you got any big ones that you can just share out there that was like, oh my God?
Yeah. You know? I'll say this. You know, people say, oh, it's going to cost three times as much money and takes three times as long. Well, that's the understatement of the world. It's, you can't bring innovation to market from an accountant's mindset. You're going to be spending money down these rabbit holes, and then in hindsight, there's a dead end and you cannot overcome it. You run into a patent issue. But you've been spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on this certain wireless. Well, you can't use it.
Right.
So now you got to start over. Well, you don't start over. And that's the lesson, is you're going to learn a lot of things along that path. And even though it brought you to a dead end, you're going to take some things out of that that refocus you and get you to the promised land.
All right.
So there's a million mistakes, but just keep plugging away. You'll get there.
Mistakes, you kind of look at them differently. You got to look at them. They're literally the bricks in the wall.
Right.
And that's what you got to, or the bricks in the foundation, or whatever you want to call it, because those things are going to happen. They're going to happen. And when they do, you go, all right, what is the learning from that mistake? Right?
That's it.
And it helps to lift you up a little higher. All right, let me tell you, in the last, minute here before we I got another break coming up, bottom of the hour. Advice for entrepreneurs, if you met an entrepreneur in an elevator, give me your elevator pitch advice for entrepreneurs.
You know, I always say, you know, you're never going to get a yes. The world is full of no. If it was easy, someone else would have done it. So you got to have some thick skin, stay the course, focus, and do what you know in your gut is right.
And it'll
pay off.
Excellent. And I agree. All right. Mark Toland, he is the founder and CEO, Safer Alarms with an S, SaferAlarmsInc.com. You can check him out on Indiegogo. I know one thing about Indiegogo is they want you to put videos and things up there, and you can check out the product. My dad almost caught his house on fire this morning. So it happens a lot. This is not a normal smoke detector. This is new generation of smoke detector products. Mark, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We'll take a break and come back with another genius right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, our guest right now is a gentleman named Luke Schneider, CEO of Silver Car. What is Silver Car? Well, car rental, all silver Audis, 20-some-odd cities and airports around. And Luke sold his company about a year ago to Audi, but he's still the CEO. He stayed on. So he's taken not really an exit, but he sold his company and life is changing now. So, but I love the fact that this whole thing he started, probably in his wildest dreams, he would never imagine to actually sell the company to the brand that he probably loves so much, Audi. Welcome to the show, Luke. And let's talk about this for a moment. What was the genesis of Silver Car? You know, maybe give us that story, and then I want to get into what's it like now that you've sold it. You've got about a year under your belt, but where did it all start for you?
Yeah, well, sure. First of all, Alan, thanks for having me. It's great to be here and love the podcast. And Silver Car, well, it started in a very familiar place for me. I've spent 25 years at the intersection of transportation and technology. And the simple genesis of this company is a really, really bad customer experience. The company legend has it that you know, a couple of guys were sitting at the 19th hole of a golf course, looking out in the parking lot and wondering how on earth they got a white minivan for their cool guys golf vacation.
Right.
And they had a few more Coca-Colas and just decided that that was completely wrong. And that in this day and age, at the very least, you should be able to solve those two gigantic problems, which have plagued the car rental industry for years. And that is one, never knowing what you're going to get. It's always, you know, a Toyota Camry or similar. And 90% of the time it's the or similar.
Right.
And the other is just the hassle. The lines, the counters, the dot matrix printers, the do you want a GPS that's worse than the one on your phone, the insurance plans, which fuel plan do you want? And so literally that's what gave rise to the concept, which started as kind of the Southwest Airlines of car rental and ultimately morphed into something that brought in a really great technology platform and ecosystem, a super elegant mobile app, and just a great concept about doing a car rental and having a great car every time that's got the features that you expect and never having to worry that you're going to get or similar.
So let me just kind of narrow this down a little bit. You could have chosen BMW. You could have chosen, you know, any other car manufacturer. Why Audi? What was it about Audi because to me, I always felt like Audi, there was for a long time, they benchmarked this all over quality. Interior was beautiful because I'm a car guy. You know that. I do a car show called The Drive. But they had the benchmark of just everything felt right. The driving experience, the sitting behind the seat experience, the look of the outside of the car, the engineering. But why for you was it Audi?
That one was one of the best decisions I think I've ever made as an entrepreneur. And this is my sixth early stage company. And I got to tell you, the Audi brand was the first thing that drew us to it. We viewed ourselves as going into a really stodgy industry. In the car rental industry, yes, three companies control almost 98% of the entire market, right? And they had become commodified over time and the experience had become horrible. And still is, frankly, from many perspectives. The Audi brand for us stood for the same thing we were, which was an industry challenger, but a consumer champion. Audis have become this beloved brand simply because of what you said. Unbelievable powertrains, the leaders in all-wheel drive technology, but everything from the styling, from bringing LED lighting into the mix, as well as just kind of that overall appeal, made them the right choice. On top of that, the A4, which was for years the only car we rented in the fleet, as the Southwest Airlines of the rental car industry.
Gotcha. Right?
There's only one plane in Southwest, only one car for us. Well, you know, about 85% of all airport car rentals happen in a vehicle that size. So it was kind of a no-brainer. And then the final cherry on top was I am a technology guy. And for a very long time, Audi has been a leader in technology, in vehicle technology. Right. And that allowed us to integrate our technology into the vehicle itself much more easily.
All right. So first of all, I agree. I love Audis. They're just fantastic machines. And even the A4 is at the top of its game in that midsize car area, you know, small to midsize. So I get it. The experience of driving a car, if you've never driven an Audi or many of these luxury cars like this, you walk away feeling delighted instead of the opposite effect of walking away from whatever it is that you rent at a normal rental car place going, that car stunk. It was this. It was the drove. It wasn't comfortable. So, but still, you guys had to put together something that was going up against David and Goliath. I mean, you guys were David and these other gigantic car companies, rental car companies, were literally Goliath. I mean, where did you get the moxie to do that? I mean, I want to know more about this guy, Luke, to be able to, where did you get the guts, the courage that it takes to do that?
Well, indeed it was, and it still kind of is that way in the industry. The genesis for, you know, kind of what gave us the the courage to go do that is rooted in something that happened to me fairly early in my career. So 25 years, as I said, I've been involved in this sort of technology and transportation world. I started my career designing engines, actually, at Ford. I was a powertrain engineer. But over the course of, you know, some years, got into early stage companies and you know, prior to Silver Car, you know, I was the chief technology officer at a company called Zipcar, which was car sharing.
Okay. And it's all coming together now there, Luke. I got it. Keep going.
Yeah. So if there's a bigger Goliath in the car rental industry, then it's probably the auto industry itself. And that's kind of what Zipcar was competing against. Yeah. Let's share a car rather than owning a car. Well, while I was at Zipcar, I got my first iPhone back in 2008. Had a really, you know, crazy idea sitting in my attic about why are we using RFID cards to swipe into and out of our Zipcars? We should be able to do everything on our phone, right? Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, right. You could schedule it, reserve it. You've got, you know, the Bluetooth capabilities should be able to allow you to open the car, locate the car. And so we, you know, that met with a lot of resistance actually internally, but I skunk worked it for a number of months. And ultimately, we launched it, and we launched it at the Worldwide Developer Conference that Apple puts on each year in 2009. And from there, you know, I really understood much more firmly this idea that customer experience is what drives success.
Oh, boy. Hold on. Beautiful. Customer experience is what drives success. Absolutely. 100%. So if you're going to partner with somebody like Audi, where the customer experience is delightful. All right, I get it. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Luke Schneider. Don't go anywhere, Luke. Silvercar.com. If you guys have never heard about this, I'm a car guy. I get it. I love it. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Here's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Don't forget, pick up our magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, on newsstands everywhere. Check out our website, entrepreneur.com, and come to one of our events. You can check it out, entrepreneur.com. You can see we're out there, baby. Podcasts and radio shows and, you know, Elevator Pitch, the video series with my buddy Dave Meltzer. Joining us right now is Luke Schneider. Silvercar, he's a CEO. This is his sixth startup. Sixth. But by the way, there's a rental car agency called Sixth. So the competition is everywhere. But I, you know, we talked during the commercial break just a little bit. The experience is so important. Let me tell you what drives my loyalty. A great experience. I mean, like right now. I got to say, I've been having a fantastic experience with Delta Airlines. I used to be a 1K flyer with United. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know if I'll ever fly United ever again. It's been horrible. I spent the night in an airport the other night because it's like it's when the whole day went on. Don't get me started here, Luke. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. It was just horrible. So the experience is so important. But let's talk about experience. It's obviously one of the pillars of Silvercar.
Absolutely, it is. You know, as we talked about before, if you can find an industry that suffers from this problem, and many industries do, a lot of unsexy industries, you know, out there, and can be made, you know, sexier, more attractive, more fun with a better customer experience. With Silvercar, it's one of the more interesting things. A lot of entrepreneurs probably have a similar tale, but you know, early on in our existence, you know, we were running low on money. We were trying to figure out what we were going to do to fund the company to grow more. We had opened at Houston's Hobby Airport, and thinking that that was a close to home option, and that we would be able to leverage some of the other things we had in Texas. But we came to this conclusion that we really needed to go to a bigger airport, that size matters. So we closed it fairly quickly. We pivoted, and we used the money we had left to actually open at San Francisco at SFO Airport. Much bigger airport. The ethos of the city is very technology oriented. Totally. And so we figured that we would find a better customer base. So we didn't even have real estate. We parked 9 cars on the street Burlingame outside SFO.
Oh my God.
Called that our SFO location.
That's awesome, man.
But through this action, right, we actually got a reservation one night, and the guy that we had sent out there, who was one of the co-founders of the company, sent a note to me and said, "Do you think it's really him?" And so I don't know. I looked at my app and I saw the name Eduardo@Saverin.com. And Eduardo Saverin was Mark Zuckerberg's Harvard roommate and one of the co-founders of Facebook. We waited, and sure enough, it was him, in from Singapore, and he had heard about us through word of mouth. He rented from us. He had a spectacular customer experience and wound up funding our Series B venture round.
Wow. So, I mean, it just, you know, it's like for you, it's almost serendipitous the way things have fallen into place, but it has to start with that original aha moment of, man, this sucks so bad. I wish there was, oh, bing, light bulb goes off. Great idea is born. Courage to go forward and move ahead, and then add in, you know, the thing that is missing from the experience we talked about that is so important, which is technology. But why, after this, would, like you said, was your sixth startup, why again, Luke, when you've already done this a number of times and you've probably, you know, probably a well-to-do guy at this point? This was a daunting thing. Why? Why, Luke? When your mom says to you, "Luke, why are you doing it again, Luke?"
Trust me, I was that kid, and my mother is still saying that. Why, Luke? You know, it's an awesome question, and I guess probably the best answer I can think of to that is we all have things that we are passionate about, and sometimes we can explain them. Sometimes they're just things that we feel. For me, it's just always been that, you know, we've solved this transportation problem a way that made sense when we first started about 120 years ago, but it's become quite expensive in socially and environmentally as well as economically.
Right.
And for me, you know, this really was an opportunity to not just start a car rental company, but to build a technology platform and a services layer as well as, you know, an asset layer to try to demonstrate how we can do it better.
Yep.
Every other consumer category has done this, from food, lodging, apparel, media. You buy what you want, you pay for what you use, and you do it on your phone. And I don't think that there's any reason why personal transportation sector can't do exactly the same. And so for me, Silvercar really was the opportunity to demonstrate that, and to demonstrate it in a way that had a much bigger impact in ways I had done before. When you're armed with that kind of passion, and when you feel so strongly about it, and when you have basically a non-existent risk profile after six companies, you just, you know, it makes it a fairly straightforward and easy decision.
All right.
Well, not something I've ever regretted.
Here's what I need from you on this next segment as we wrap up our show today. We need for you to be the professor and teach the class to the entrepreneurs after six startups successful. What does Luke Schneider have to teach you out there? Silvercar.com is the website. You can check him out. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. The professor will be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our guest right now is Luke the Disruptor. Luke Schneider, CEO of Silvercar. Sixth startup, and now Silvercar has been sold to Audi. First of all, congratulations. What was that like for you when you did that? I was like, in your wildest dreams, you would have never thought that would happen, or did you?
Well, no, actually, after this many, you kind of go into it thinking about that in advance little bit.
Okay.
Never thought it would quite end this way, but we've done public to privates to publics, and even an IPO in Zipcar's case.
Goodness. And you started out as an engineer at Ford. What? You jumped. You pulled the golden parachute and became an entrepreneur, and that's where I bring you to being the professor. You know, out of these six startups, each one, you take away that one giant golden chunk of wisdom to help you into the next one. So maybe you could give us three top things that you can teach our listening entrepreneurs. Ready? Go for it.
Okay. Let me just pull out my tweed jacket here. Get those elbow patches good.
And,
light my pipe. I mean, I think the first thing is everybody wants to go in this into entrepreneurship and early stage companies and thinking they're going to hit a grand slam. And my advice would actually be to focus more on hitting singles, I call it.
Yep.
It's kind of like when you play Little League and your coach said, hey, just try to meet the ball and hit it out of the infield. That's really important. You know, through six different experiences, I've been able to string together, you know, a nice collection of hits. And it's been a rewarding career and something that's been, you know, a fantastic way to live. The second is when you go into it, do it to make a difference. If you're doing it to try to IPO your company or to just, you know, make a lot of money or do it very quickly or capitalize on something, generally speaking, it's going to lead you down a bad path. And so if you're passionate about something, that's great. If you just feel strongly about something, that's perfectly fine. But the reasons for getting into an entrepreneurial venture will very clearly become evident to both the people you work with, but also those people that you're going to rely on to either fund you or support you or buy your products and services. And so that's an important thing for culture in a startup. And I think the third thing, which gets missed a lot, is be optimistic. You know, feel like every day you are the luckiest person in the world. You live in a world, and if you're in the U.S., in a country where the deployment of private capital to create wealth is something that is possible, right? And in generations past, that wasn't the case. It's an amazing time we live in, and we're all way more empowered than we think we are. And if you're optimistic, you take advantage of that, and you just build a better world. And so, you know, that's the third thing that I would encourage people is to have that positive attitude and realize that you're actually doing good.
Oh, all right. I'm gonna regurgitate those back after I ask you the last question. The road ahead for, you know, the future of Silver Car. Give me 1 minute on that.
Yeah, that's probably the thing I'm the most optimistic about. You know, like I said, every other consumer category has had its business model or consumer model change. And in the 120-year history of personal transportation, we are at a profound moment of seismic change. We are going to bring together, you know, both technology in the form of autonomous cars and electric cars, connected vehicles with changes in policy, changes in demographics, and changes in consumer models themselves. And it's going to make it better for all of us. Transportation is going to become less expensive in pretty much every way. It's going to become more accessible. It's going to become cleaner. It's going to make our cities that much more livable. And we are all lucky enough to be living in that time.
I love it, brother. I love it. Silvercar.com. All right, here's what he said. Number one, focus on singles. I mean, consistency over intensity, people. People love seeing consistency. And you know what? You're going to get ahead. You're not going to get a home run every day. But if you hit a single and you hit another single and you hit another single, you're going to make some points. And those do add up in time. Number two, do it to make a difference. And I'm going to add to that, live a passion-driven life. Then it doesn't seem like work at all. Number three, be optimistic. I love that. Be grateful for what you have in your life every day. Wake up and say, man, I am so happy to be alive. I'm healthy if you're healthy. And if you're not healthy, get healthy. You can make this happen. Don't just sit there and let the life happen to you. Make your mark on this world. The ripple effect is amazing. Like, look what Luke's doing right now, giving this great advice. Make a difference in this world. Luke, great job. Luke Schneider, everybody. Silver Car, silvercar.com. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.